Well, we're going to take just a few minutes, literally a few minutes, and do a very quick study. And I want to pray about this. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. There is a great benefit in reading the Torah portion, the Haftorah, the Brit Chadashah portion, and having the discipline of reading set passages year after year and exploring what is in the scriptures. There's a real value in reading through the Bible deliberately from beginning to end. There's a value in being disciplined. Even if your discipline is to read one verse a day, there will be a value to you. And sometimes the scriptures are like potato chips. Once you start, you can't stop. But if you develop the discipline of reading the scriptures, you will certainly gain from it. This week, as I was reading and studying Parshat Chukat, I was thinking about all the different themes and lessons that are in this Torah portion and in the Haftorah portion and in the Brit Chadashah. And it was so rich to me, I thought at one point, maybe we should just talk about everything that could be talked about. Just call it out. And I thought, you know, that's not going to be so productive at a moment like this. But you know what I love to do? I love to sit down with people, small groups, one-on-one, and just talk about what we see in the scriptures and what touches us. Brian Stone and I had the habit of getting together every week. We did that for many years, and we would read the scriptures and talk about what we saw. And it was so useful. Wasn't that enjoyable? Sandy and I do that every week. We talk about what we see. We talk about what we understand. We talk about the questions that we have. We read the scriptures independently, and then we talk about them together. And if you don't read, you're not giving the Lord anything to work with. He can work with you when you put something into it. I developed the habit many years ago of reading the passages by myself and reading slowly enough that I could pay attention to what I noticed and what I saw. And I developed this habit of reading, in a sense, just trying to be open to the Holy Spirit. Lord, what are you helping me to see? What do I notice? What do you help me pay attention to? What questions do I have? Sometimes when I read the scriptures, I just write my questions down. Other times when I read the scriptures, I'll write the verses longhand that actually touch me. And I can tell you this, if you put effort into reading the scriptures, you will get reward from it. If you put a little effort, you'll get a little reward. If you put great effort, you will get great reward. Now, last week when I was reading Torah and reading about Moses, I thought, poor Moses, can't he catch a break? You know, won't they ever treat him well? And I felt for him, even though Moses has long worked through all those problems, I was feeling afresh a sense of compassion and mercy towards him. This week when I was reading, so many things touched me. I'm not going to share with you all of them. I'm going to share just one. I noticed something. It was the motivation of Moses. What drives him? What really keeps him going? And I was thinking, is it that he wanted to be a great leader? Is that what drove him? I don't think so. And is it that he wanted to be an incredible figure in history, you know, famous and important? I don't think that's what it was. Did he even want to be a leader of Israel? Did he aspire to be a leader of Israel? I don't think that's what it was. When I look at the motivation of Moses, I think there was one thing perfectly clear that motivated him, that drove him forward, and that was this. He wanted to be on a journey with God. He wanted to go with God. Do you remember that time when he said, God, if you don't go with us, how can we go? And he wanted this assurance from the Lord that whatever he was going, whatever Moses was going to do, it was in the company of God. No wonder then that God accompanied Israel as a pillar of fire by night, as a cloud by day, throughout the whole 40 years in the desert. Moses was so motivated to serve God and to fulfill God's assignments. And I want to show you something in the Torah reading in Numbers chapter 20. Moses is experiencing some loss. We read in chapter 20, verse 1 of Numbers, the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. Who was Miriam? His sister. And do you remember what she had done that was so significant? She was the one who was watching over him when he was in that basket as a little baby on the river. And she was the one who went to the daughter of Pharaoh and made a connection with Pharaoh's daughter about how Moses would be taken care of. And so she's dead. She was a prophetess, and she was a worshiper. She was a dancer, and she was a singer too. And she helped lead Israel into worship. And when she died, it was an incredible loss for Israel and an incredible loss for Moses too. Now, what happens next is described in verse 2. Now, there was no water for the congregation. There's some stories behind that. We won't look into them very deeply. But one of the great stories of Israel is that there was a well called Miriam's Well that accompanied Israel throughout the wilderness. And it was a supernatural well that provided water for Israel. And Paul talks in Corinthians about that well that traveled with Israel. And he said, you know what the well really was? It was Messiah. That Messiah was bringing forth water himself. That he was the rock that the well was working through. And so you have Miriam's well, you have Messiah. It's an interesting thing to explore. But the water's over. It says there's no water for the congregation. So they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. So again, is Moses being treated well at this point? No. The people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, if only we had died when our brothers and sisters died before the Lord, why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness that we and our animals should die here? We're parched. We're thirsty. We have nothing to drink. And you are responsible for our death. Why did you do this? Why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? This shows you something. When people are mad at you, they'll blame you for all of their bad decisions. They'll even blame you for their good decisions. Do you think it was a good decision to leave Egypt? Yes. Do you think it was a good decision to leave slavery? I think so. And now they're saying, Moses, you're rotten. You made us do this. It was against our will. We didn't want to. We wanted to be slaves. That's the implication. You've made us come up out of this, out of Egypt, to bring us to this evil place. Now, they're not happy with the journey. I can tell you this. If you're not happy with the journey, when the journey gets tough, you're going to be miserable. Moses is different. This place, they say, is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, and there's no water to drink, so there's nothing good to eat in this place. This is definitely not a Jewish delicatessen. Verse 6. So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and this is what I want you to see. And they fell on their face. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. This tells you about their real character. When the times are tough, they press into God. And you know what they're looking for more than anything? It's not human approval. It's not the approbation that comes from being recognized by other people. It's not even appreciation from people. Because if they were looking for that, they'd be miserable. And the fact is, they never quite got it, not during their lifetime at least. But you know what they were looking for? They were looking for God. And so in the face of their great difficulty, of the rejection that they were experiencing, the torment, the trouble that was coming from those who they were leading and trying to serve, the contention, the bitterness that they had to deal with, what did they do? They fell on their faces. And then this beautiful statement, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. You see, during difficult times, Moses wanted to be close to the Lord. During the times of challenge and difficulty, he pressed into God. He saw how bad it was. He didn't just try to argue with the people. He fell on his face. He left one place, the assembly of the people, and he went to another place, the tent of meeting with God. And he fell on his face, and the glory of the Lord appeared to him. And God sustained him in this way. This is how you discover the motivation of people. What do they do during difficult times? What do they do when things aren't going well? That's how you find out what someone's really made of. It's not just what do they do when other people are looking. What do they do when everyone's mad at them? What do they do when they're unpopular? What do they do when they're in trouble? Moses pressed into God. And in this way, he is a great example. He is an example of a man who wanted to be close to Israel. Do you remember when God invited him up on the mountain? He said, I'm coming. The rest of Israel said, that's scary. We want to keep our distance. And Moses said, I want to get as close as I can. It started with nothing more than curiosity those many decades before when God manifest as a burning bush. And Moses said, that is so weird. I've got to check it out. No big spiritual aha. Simply, it got my attention. You see, God knows how to get our attention and then to work with us from there. Here's the problem. If when he's trying to get your attention, you don't give him your attention, you won't get from him what you need. That's the problem. And if you don't have what you need, you won't be able to get through the challenge that you're facing right now. So that's what I wanted to share with you. Moses' motivation. So that you can ask yourself, what's my motivation in life? What am I doing and why am I doing it? How do I want to spend my days? Do I want to press into God? Or do I want to do something else? Maybe you have some difficulty you can't handle. Welcome to the club, the Moses Club. Maybe you have a challenge. Maybe you're working through something and you're saying, I can't handle this. How many of you can say, I can't handle some of the stuff that's on my plate? Welcome to the club. And what do? Do you give up? No, you press into God. When you don't have strength, you know what you say? I'm weak, you're strong. It's not enough just to say, I'm weak. It's not enough to be a complainer and say, "Nah, this stinks." That won't really get you anywhere. But when you learn to press into God in times of difficulty, God will press into you. And he'll impart to you what you don't have. He'll equip you in the ways that you need to learn. And he will change you to become more and more like him. And you know what? When he does that, you really will experience the power of God and the differences that only God can make. So it's my hope, twofold, that you'll press into the scriptures so you can press into God. And the other thing is you'll press into God because you need the scriptures and you need God. And some of the benefits you're looking for come only from the scriptures and you've been looking for other things. That TV show you love to watch, it's not going to help in the way that the scriptures are. That person you love to dump on, they can't make things different the way God can. And it's time to press into God. So I just want to encourage you, press into God. What's the message? Press into God. And about the scriptures? Press in. Read those scriptures. Get from them what God wants to give to you. And don't say to yourself, well, I read them before. So what? Good for you. I'm happy. Read them again and again and again and again. Well, let's close right now with Aaron's blessing. Some of you are saying to yourself, well, I would press in if I knew I'd get the answers. Or I'd press in. It must have been easy for Tanya to press in, but it's not easy for me. To which I say, baloney. It's hard for all of us. It takes a willing and a dedicated heart to do it. Make yourself strong to press into him. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai p'navelecha v'ichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen.